UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We won't report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs? They're out there. Taking airplanes.
And it is
such.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. Alright, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you're all doing good. I'm Nick Hunter and you are listening to the UFO Chronicles podcast. And if you enjoy the show, please share it wherever possible and leave a ratings or review if you are able, as it really helps the show to become more discoverable to new listeners and future guests. And good news, the podcast hit another milestone this week. We reached 2 million downloads. So thank you to each and every last one of you. I appreciate you all for listening. Tonight we are joined by Justin in Southern California, sharing his multiple experiences, starting in the mid-80s with a visit at night from a small being. Justin is up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal, and if you like, you can set up monthly recurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Thanks, Nick. Good to be on.
And it's great to have you join us today, calling from California.
Yes, sir. Southern California. Far south as we can get.
Hot, hot, hot.
Absolutely. Crazy hot.
Crazy hot. Now, Justin, you have some experiences to share with our listeners tonight, starting in your childhood. Would you like to begin there for us, please?
Yeah, definitely. If I can just kind of preface everything by saying, like, I am very interested in this subject. It terrifies me. I have been kind of exposed to this stuff from an early age. My mom's very into it. But, you know, as it is something that I read about, listen to podcasts about, I am just very terrified of it. At any rate, I'm also a little bit of a skeptic. So even the things that I say or believe that I've seen and experiences that I had, I'm very skeptical of myself and, you know, maybe the things that I have seen or want to say that I've seen or believe or whatever could be like influenced by the media or, you know, anything else. At any rate, so starting from the beginning, so be mid-80s, don't know exactly what year, but I was born in 81. So it'd be somewhere in the mid-80s. I'm from this area. It's a big farming community, small town. We lived about 15 miles east of a town called Brawley. And just out in the middle of the country, there's just fields around, not really anything else. And lived in this really old kind of farmhouse kind of on in a field, essentially. And my memory, which is, like I said, one of my earliest childhood memories, is of this small man. I don't know if you call him a man. It was a being that would be in my room. And I remember it being in a suit. I don't know what kind of suit. I don't want to say it was like a space suit or, you know, something like that. I mean, in my mind, I see it as like almost like a tuxedo. I don't, you know, that's just kind of what I remember. But I remember it being in the corner of my ceiling where the ceiling and the wall meet. And it was funny. And I enjoyed when it would come. So when, you know, it just made me laugh. And I guess that's the memory that I have of it. From what I remember, it kind of went on for a while that this thing would come. And it wasn't like a scary memory or anything like that. It was just, you know. So late 80s, we moved closer to town. Same thing, still in the country. And the house that we lived in, there were windows facing basically every direction. So you had my window in my room was facing to the north. My mom and dad's bedroom was facing to the east. Our living room was facing to the west. So one night, I'm in my room. I'm asleep. My mom's in her room asleep, and my dad and my sister are out in the living room. And there's this just bright flash of light in my room. Now, because we live like in the country and there's fields around, we regularly had crop dusters that would fly, you know, over the house. So the window in my room, I would get crop dusters and you would see the lights coming towards the house and you would hear them fly over. So this wasn't like that at all. There was no flyover. There was no noise. There was no gradual light coming towards the room. It was just a huge flash of light. And then I was in the kitchen. No idea what happened between then. But not only was I in the kitchen, my parents were in the kitchen and my sister was in the kitchen. And we're all kind of like, did you guys see that light? And everybody was, yeah, what the heck was the light? And nobody could really explain it. I don't really remember being concerned about it, but it was weird. But yeah, I mean, I at the time, I didn't really think about like lost time or anything like that. How that happened, I don't want to say it was a UFO or anything like that, but it was definitely unexplained, something that I don't know how to explain it. My family doesn't know how to explain it. And when I've asked them about it recently, they all remember it, but it's not something that anybody has any idea of, like, oh yeah, that happened. Don't know what it was. And they kind of don't want to talk about it. So after that, life goes on as normal, I guess. And we kind of skip forward to, so 2012, it was my dad's birthday in August. We had just moved back to this area from the Pacific Northwest, and we were staying with family. And again, it was my dad's birthday. We had rented some movies from Redbox, and we had to turn them in. It was a birthday party, and you know, it was running kind of late. So the kids and their mom and I got in the car. We got the Redbox movies, and we were driving into Brawley to drop the movies off. And we're going on the freeway. I realized that I had not actually grabbed the movies. I was just in such a rush that we took off. I thought I had them. And then I'm like, oh man, we don't even have the movies. Let's turn around. So we turned around and we were at a stoplight. And I'm looking, we're kind of going east. So I'm looking east and the moon is out. There's a few clouds. There's a light. And I don't even really know how to explain it. It was a light that it almost looked like sparkles. This light was like, it was going left to right, and then it would leave a trail of light, like sparkles going, you know, following the light, and then the light would go away, and then it would come, you know, from left to right again. And it just kept doing that. And it was, you know, we're sitting there like, what is that? And my kid's mom was like, I think you know what that is. That's really strange, but I think you know what it is. And I'm like, I don't, but let me pull my phone out and try to record this. So I'm trying to record it, and it's just what it would do. It would rotate like that, where the light would go across and leave a trail. And then a few seconds later, it would be a little bit higher and it would do the same thing. And eventually it got so high, it was behind a cloud, and it kind of illuminated the cloud. Now, at the same time, I look north and there's another one. And so I'm like, oh my God, there's another one over there, and it's doing the same thing. You know, we're sitting at this light. I don't even know how long. I'm sure it was green and then it probably went red again. We're out in the middle of the country, so there's not a lot of people around. But it was strange. My kids saw it. Their mom saw it. I got on the phone with my mom and I'm like, go outside right now because there's something weird out there. By the time she got out, there was, you know, it was gone, both of them. And I went, and the video that I took, I uploaded it on YouTube. It's still there. I believe I sent it to you. From the video, you can't really see too much, but you can see, you know, enough to, you can kind of understand what I'm talking about. I posted on YouTube, and there was multiple people that had responded, and they're like, oh my gosh, we saw this as well. There was a person that was driving down the Interstate 10, which the Interstate 10 goes, you know, through Arizona, and it goes up to Palm Springs area and then to LA. And there's a mountain range. It's called the Chuckawalla Mountains, which is the Interstate 10 kind of cuts right through there. So that was to the north. So the object that I saw in the north, it seemed like it was over in that area. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, this has got to be military stuff. There's a big military presence. We have a Navy base that's here in this valley. There's bombing ranges, you know, in the deserts that are surrounding here, as well as in the Chuckawalla Mountains. As a kid growing up in the country that, you know, you can see these mountains plainly, there are constantly flares being dropped out there. Flares are usually like a orange color, and they fall in a, you know, in a way that you can tell it's a flare. These things were moving left to right. So, and people have told me, like, oh, you probably just saw flares. And if those were flares, I don't know how. I've never seen a flare like that. I've never seen a flare disappear, leave a weird sparkly trail, and then move up and do the same thing. So, you know, that was that experience. Once it was gone, we're just like, all right, well, let's go get the movies and take them back. You know, like I said, I uploaded it to YouTube. I like tried to enhance the video, and you know, it's just grainy pixels. Now, after that, skip ahead to 2018. Probably it would be about early September of 2018. We're living in a town that's a bit south of Brawley, called El Centro. And, you know, just living the life down here. My kid's mom and my youngest daughter and I all shared a bed. And in the house that we live in, there's in a master bedroom, there's a very large window. There's a couple of windows in there that are, you know, you get light in there during the day, but at night, there's nothing going on in the backyard. So it's not very bright in the room. So usually my kid's mom would be up all night reading. That the night that I'm talking about, I woke up to a really bright flash of light, and it was just like instantaneous bright light, and then it was gone. It was bright enough where it woke me up, and I get up. She's asleep. My daughter's asleep. And to me, I mean, I don't know what time it was, but it was weird for her to be asleep, because usually, like I said, she would be up all night reading. So I got up and started going around the house trying to check things out. Went outside with a flashlight looking like maybe a transformer blew on a power line or something, or a power pole. Couldn't see anything. So I'm like, well, I'll just go back to bed. So I'm laying there in bed. Again, you know, my kid's mom and my daughter were all there. And there's, I don't know how long it was, but there was another flashlight. And I'm like, what the heck? So I get up. And again, I'm looking around. There's nothing. It probably happened at least 3 or 4 times. And every time I'm like, what? You know, I would maybe just get to sleep. And then it would happen again. And can't explain it. I have no idea. Maybe there was somebody in the backyard trying to break in with a flashlight. I doubt that. But these flash of light things kind of seem to be a reoccurring thing and whatever is going on with me. So the next morning, I spoke with her, my kid's mom. I spoke with her and I was like, man, how did you not wake up with that light that kept coming in the room? And she was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, I was up and down all night long. This flashlight kept coming through the room. You were dead asleep. And she's like, I haven't slept. I was up all night reading. And I'm like, you definitely weren't awake. And she like was like, well, actually, you were asleep the whole night long. And actually, something really weird happened. And I was like, I don't know what to tell you, but you were asleep. Anyway, she told me that I was asleep. She was reading. And then she got the feeling that someone else was in the room. So she would sleep with like a blanket, or, you know, she would be reading with a blanket over her head with a Kindle, trying not to wake me up with the light of the Kindle. So she felt like there was somebody in the room or something in the room. She pulls the blanket off of her head and she looks, and she tells me that she saw a figure at the edge of the bed. I can't remember exactly. She said it was walking and then it stopped, but it was at the end of the bed. It's dark in the room, so all of our kids were asleep. It wasn't a kid running through the room or walking through the room, but she said it stopped, looked at her, and then she immediately put the blanket back over her head. Like she was afraid or panicked, but I guess not panicked enough to like wake me up. She just wanted to like not see it. And, you know, I don't remember exactly if she told me that she stayed that way. I don't remember if she said, you know, I went back a few minutes later and looked to see if, you know, it was still there. But, you know, she definitely said it was a figure. She said it was like the description of a gray, but that she couldn't see it that well, but that it was in the room. And, you know, what that all means, I have no idea, but it's just weird to me that it would be the same night that I'm seeing these flash of lights. I'm seeing her asleep and she's seeing something completely different. Don't know how to explain that. So after that, we, you know, things happen in life. We started going through splitting up, and it would have been early October, you know, that kind of thing happened. I started sleeping on the couch out in the living room. You know, it's obviously a really stressful time for everybody, the kids, her. So, you know, things are unraveling. And Halloween is quickly approaching. So we're doing the whole Halloween thing and, you know, still trying to keep everything together, even though, you know, all the stuff is going on. So we go out trick-or-treating with the kids. That night after we got back, right, my son and I were staying in the living room, and you know, the girls and their mom, they were asleep in another room. So my son and I were laying, I was laying on the couch and he was laying, he was watching TV or something. And then he was kind of laying next to me on the floor. And after, you know, he had gone to sleep, turned the TV off, I'm laying there and I keep hearing someone in the kitchen or something in the kitchen. And it's rattling, opening drawers and like rattling utensils. And same thing, I get up and I'm going in there and I don't see anything and lay back down. And the same thing happens. I'm hearing just rattling around. So I'm like, well, maybe it's a cat. I have no idea. I can't see, you know, anything going on in here. So I finally fall asleep and I have a dream that essentially I'm laying in the living room. My son's next to me. It was very vivid, like, you know, what was going on. And the flash of light happens, comes through the living room. The whole place is just illuminated. And there are three silhouettes I could not see their faces, but they were silhouettes. They were thin. They're what I would consider like a gray. So there's these three beings that are in my living room, and my son's right there, and I'm furious. I don't know why they're in my house. I'm just getting really angry. They're kind of just standing there. The light is just coming through the windows. And so I start yelling at them. I want to know why they're here. And they're wanting me to go with them. I don't remember them speaking anything. And I know that's just a very like stereotypical thing. You know, they talk to me, and speaking to me is telepathy. I can hear it though. And they're wanting me to leave. They're wanting me to go with them. And I'm just furious. And so I'm yelling at them to get out of the house. I have the memory that I have of it is that it's not someone that I don't know. So it's definitely pissing me off because my kids are there and I don't want them around my kids. Eventually, I am angry enough. I get up and I grab one of them by the shoulders and I'm shaking it. And I'm so mad and I'm screaming at it to get out of my house. And then I wake up sweating, freaked out. What the hell was this dream? Check on my son. He's fine. I go and check on everybody else. Everybody's fine. And have a hard time sleeping the rest of that night. So I get up and I go to work. When I come back from work, I go and take a shower. My kids are there. So I'm walking through their bedroom and I'm not wearing a shirt. I just got out of the shower. And they're like, "What is that on your back?" I can't see my back. I have no idea what's on there. So they take a picture of it. And there's this dot pattern on my back. It wasn't raised. It was just a bunch of small dots in a pattern. It kind of like, it reminded me of like a hickey, like someone would give you a hickey and it's like, you know, the blood coming to the surface, but it wasn't raised. Super weird. So they took a picture of it and I'm like, that is really strange. I don't know what that's from. I don't remember sleeping on anything weird that would have given some imprint on my back. And so their mom was like, "Man, that's so strange." She pulled me aside and was like, "Man, our son told me about this dream that he had last night. And now you've got this weird thing on your back." At this point, I hadn't told anybody about the dream that I had had. I remember it, but it was just very strange. And she knows that this is a subject that I'm both fascinated with and like totally afraid of. So she comes to me and she's like, "Oh, this is so weird. Sebastian, our son, had a dream last night that you guys were in the living room and this flashlight came through the windows and there were three snakes that were in the living room and that you were screaming at them to get out of the house. And eventually you got up and grabbed one and started shaking it." And I'm like, at this point, she's telling me this and I am freaked out. I hadn't told anybody about this. She would have no way of coming up with this story to try to scare me or something. So I'm completely freaked out. I tell her and she's like, "Do not say anything to our son Sebastian. Don't say anything." So he as well is completely like terrified of the subject. We like to go out to the desert that's here. There's, you know, open land that you can go out and camp. We'll go out, make a campfire or something. And he hates going out there. He does not like going out there. He doesn't want to see the sky. If I try to watch a movie with, you know, UFOs or, you know, anything of that subject, he just doesn't want anything to do with it. And I totally get it because that's how I was when I was a kid. Didn't want anything to do with it. My parents, they were all about fire in the sky and communion and, you know, close encounters and all this stuff. And I found a copy of Chariots of the Gods at my mom's or at my grandma's house that was my mom. So I know that she's been into this stuff for a while. So it's just kind of a weird thing. Not only that, but my father was also, I don't know the extent of what experience he had, but he told us that he had seen something in the 70s. He he saw something in the sky kind of just darting around, and then it took off. He, you know, like I said, this was the 70s. This is at night. I'm assuming he had been drinking and partying or whatever. He was out in the country, actually not maybe a mile down from where we lived, where we saw the flash of light in the 90s. But yeah, he saw this light flashing around in the sky. He would tell us about this all the time. And I mean, I didn't want to hear any of it. So after that, the thing that happened on Halloween and hearing about the dream, and I told my kid's mom about the dream that I had had. And, you know, we were just kind of like, this is really strange. And maybe a couple of weeks after that, I had moved out of this house and moved in with my family in Brawley. You know, nothing else had kind of happened for a while. A couple of weeks, you know, months, weeks go by. Our kids were kind of going between my house and their mom's house. It definitely happened maybe like twice where I had the same dream in my area, in my room, at my house in Brawley with my family, where these beings were in my room wanting me to leave. My kids were there, so of course I was angry, but I don't remember being angry enough to go up and shake one of them or anything like that. It was not as frightening, I would say, as the experience that I had here on Halloween. So I've since, our kids don't go, they're getting older, and so they don't, you know, they don't have their own space and everything at my house. We're all sleeping in one room. So, you know, when I'm there, I'm usually by myself. And I've had a few other strange dreams where these things are in my room and trying to take me. I had one where they were, can't say in a conscious way that I've ever like communicated. It's always in a dream, and it's not, you know, something like I'm awake. I'm totally awake and I'm seeing these things. When we saw the flash of light here in our house in El Centro, and my kid's mom was, you know, asleep and I'm walking around. Anyway, I didn't see anything. I just saw lights. I didn't, you know, make contact with anything in any kind of like being awake type fashion. She's the one that saw this stuff. So the only thing that I can say is in my dreams, in these dreams that I have, which are very vivid and real, I see these things. But yeah, there was one that I had where I was kind of being lifted and like they were trying to move me out of the room. Now, my room's pretty small. They were trying to move me out of the room, but kept bumping me into stuff, but they weren't actually touching me. But I remember being lifted and just kind of hitting walls and not being able to exit the room. That's probably the last time I had any kind of dream or, you know, experience like that. And I think that was probably 6-7 months ago. Now, the last kind of part of this, maybe a month ago, could have been a little bit longer. I was talking to my mom about this podcast and that, you know, she should listen to it because she's interested in the subject. And I was explaining to her that I was, you know, possibly sending you guys an email so that I could maybe be on the show. And I was kind of recounting to her all the different things that had happened. And I mentioned to her the memory that I had had of the little person that would come into my room when I was a kid. And she's like, that's not how it went at all. And I'm like, well, that's the memory that I have. So I don't really, you know, what do you remember me talking about? And she said, this is what she told me, that the light would come through the window and they saw it. All of them saw it out in the house. And this is the house that we were in the 80s. So we were way further out in the middle of nowhere, that they would all see the light that would come in the house, but it would just be really quick. And then that was it. But that I would see the beings or whatever, there was more than one, and that I would talk to them, and that was it. I mean, she didn't say anything about a funny little man in a suit, but that there was beings in the light that would come into my room that I would see and talk to. When she told me that, the memory that I had of, you know, the little man in the suit, that was gone. I totally remember what she was telling me. And it just all came back. I like broke down. I was crying. We were sitting there eating dinner and talking about this. And I'm crying, like shaking. I mean, this is a memory that I had suppressed. And it scared the crap out of me.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
After that, I mean, like I said, that was just a few months ago, and nothing else has happened, but that's pretty much the extent of, you know, what I have on my story and my experiences. Again, I take everything that I say, I think it could all probably be explained. I hate to jump to the conclusion that it's aliens or anything extraterrestrial, but I can't explain any of it. You know, I believe I included a picture of the dot pattern in the email that I sent you and the video. That's all I have, and my word and my memories and whatever. So
interesting stuff, man.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, definitely not something that I go around telling a lot of people. I don't think a lot of people take this kind of stuff seriously. But now it's on a national stage, so why not? Or international stage. It's not just national, so.
Why not? You know, you're amongst friends, and everyone that listens to this show, you know, they're very like-minded. You know, they just want to listen and learn and more likely relate to their own experiences.
I can definitely say that I've heard some stuff on this show that has been relatable. And, you know, that I think that was one of the things that really like pushed me to contact you to tell you, you know, the things that I've experienced is just hearing other people, you know, saying basically the same stuff. And, you know, I'm not crazy. I'm pretty sane person, and other people are having the same thing. Now, like I said before, are we seeing this stuff because we've seen it in movies? I don't know. I don't think so. I can dream about some stuff, but I mean, it's nothing super realistic. Never dreaming about being in my own house with my son laying next to me. Like, so I don't know. It's very strange. And it's for a person that is, like I said, terrified of the subject, it's hard to try to think that, hey, maybe this did happen, but I've got no way to prove it otherwise or disprove it.
Let's go back to the 1980s. So you remembered it as just a little being in the very corner between the wall and the ceiling.
Correct. Yeah. It's very strange. I mean, from what I remember, and like I said, it's like in a tuxedo or in a suit. That's the memory that I have. And I remember it being funny. So maybe my brain changed the memory that my mom has of the situation so that way I can cope with it better. I don't know, but it's definitely one of my earliest childhood memories. I probably was, I don't know, maybe five, six years old. I was born in 81, so 85, 86. Yeah, I probably would have been around that age. Is it normal for kids to remember stuff at that age? I have no idea, but that's probably my earliest childhood memory.
And you wasn't scared. You know, you found it funny. No. That what you were seeing.
Yeah, I remember it being funny. I remember it being an enjoyable thing when it would come. It would be in my room. I remember it. I'm being fond of it. Like I was glad that it was there. It's actually kind of funny because there was a book that I read. I was probably in, I don't know, seventh grade. A teacher recommended a Clive Barker book called The Thief of Always. And in that book, there's a little guy in a suit that comes into this kid's room and takes him away to this, you know, house that steals ears from him or something like that. I haven't read it in a long time, but when I read that, I remember being like, oh, huh, that's strange. But it was never something that I was afraid of. And being exposed to all this stuff as a child, I remember my mom and dad watching Fire in the Sky. I don't even know if it was Fire in the Sky. It was something, but it was alien stuff. And I was having none of it. Could have been like Unsolved Mysteries. And I would hide behind the couch. It was just so terrifying to me. But again, the little guy in the ceiling, not so much. Thought he was pretty funny.
And when you mentioned it to your mother and then she told you, you know, kind of what she remembers.
Yeah, that was really tough to hear, especially since as soon as she said that, yeah, that's what it was. I remember that. Yep, that memory that I had was not accurate. And the thing that really, I've never physically just been shaken when she told me that. I've never just instantly started crying. And I mean, she like came over and was like, are you okay? Because I was just, it terrified me. Absolutely. And just to know that whatever my brain did with that memory and just to disguise it with, you know, this little man in a suit, I knew that's not what happened. It was what she had told me. Because I remember that. If my dreams are reality, it's happened multiple times where these things have come. And I mean, God knows they could have come more times. I just don't remember it. But it's just too many experiences of having these lights and having these weird dreams of the same thing. Yeah, it's too much of a coincidence for me to think like, oh, it's just, you know, it's just you being stupid. It's just your brain. Don't worry about it.
And it all seems to start off with a flash of light outside the window.
Right. Flooding the room. Bright as day in the room. For her, for my mom, you know, it was quick. It was instant. I actually spoke with her recently about it. And she's like, you know, it was quick. And I was like, well, did you look at the time? Did you, you know, because I know that kind of thing is associated with like missing time. And she's like, no, I wasn't really worried about that. You know, it was a huge flash of light in the house, and we're in the middle of the country where there's, you know, nothing around. You know, you go outside and you look, but there's nothing around. So you just take it as, I don't know what happened. But she's one to jump to, oh, it was a UFO. It was, you know, she's very, very into that. I mean, she's the one that's watching Ancient Aliens all the time. And I mean, she told us, my sister and I, you know, when we were kids, that if there's a God, it's an alien. And she would buy us books and all this stuff about it. And we just kind of like, you know, whatever. But for her as well, and she's the one that's constantly outside looking at the sky, trying to see something. And she never really has, aside from, and I think this was the Elon Musk's, you know, the Space Link thing that's been flying around for a while. She said, this was probably like 2 months ago, that she was out in the backyard at night, kind of just looking up in the sky, and she saw lights that were kind of in a row, but she said there was like a mass around it. So she saw darkness around these lights, but then it was just kind of moving, and then it had gone across the sky so quick. I'm like, that was probably this, you know, SpaceLink or SpaceX. I don't know exactly what it's called. That's probably what you saw. And you know, she's like, you know, I don't know. She's also told me just a few days ago about another incident that my dad had, but it was in the middle of the day. And he was a farmer, and he drove around all over the place constantly, checking on fields and stuff like that. And kind of out north of where we lived, he was driving down the road, and in the middle of the day, he saw a silver object that just kind of streaked across the sky, but it was really low and pretty close to where he was. I mean, he saw it, he pulled over and he was looking around to try to see what was that. I mean, it could have been anything. It could have been a bug that he just saw, you know, thought it was something silver. I have no idea. But that's just my brain trying to rationalize everything to think, you know, don't jump to the fantastic. Even though I want to, try not to do that and just try to think logically, like, there's got to be an explanation. I think I, you know, in a philosophy class that I took in college, you know, you, extraordinary claims demand extraordinary evidence. And, you know, the only kind of evidence I have is a video that's on YouTube and a picture of some dots on my back. That's all I've got.
Which I will put on the website that's going to accompany this episode so people can go and check them out. Certainly interesting. And yeah, some interesting marks.
I believe that those marks happened another time after that. I could not find the picture of the second time. So I didn't even talk about it because it's like, I remember that time and I have the photographic evidence of the marks. The other time, I don't have it. So I don't even want to talk about that time. It wasn't anything like, I don't remember having any kind of dream or anything weird happening. It was months later and, you know, it was the same thing. Like, oh, hey, you got weird marks on your back. I don't know. If they're taking me, then they're doing something with my back. I have no idea. Whatever they're doing, if they're doing something, if I'm being visited, if it's a familial thing where they've done stuff or they've had contact with my dad and myself and my son, we're not hurt.
You know, there is nothing wrong with being skeptical about it. You always got to be that way. You can never really jump to conclusions, even though sometimes we want to.
Of course.
Jump to certain answers, but you know, you physically can't do that. And it's like UFOs, you know, I mean, anything really can be a UFO if you're not very good at identifying things.
Right. And as a layman, like, I don't know, this is a huge military area. So I don't know what the hell the military's flying around. You know, I have no idea. Everything can probably be explained. But
once you get past the natural phenomena and then you get past the things which we're seeing that are man-made normal, but from different angles, you know, there's different weather conditions and all that kind of things. And it's easy to misidentify things. Anyone can kind of do it.
Right.
But, you know, there's a lot of things out there flying around, evidently, which I won't say don't belong in our skies, that are not natural and not man-made.
I mean, yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, there's so much out there. I mean, we know more about space than we know about our own oceans, you know, or at least I've been told that. But it would be ridiculous to think, you know, there's not something out there. There's not more to the, you know, what we can see. I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but the object that we saw, I may have mentioned this in the email. The object that we saw that was rotating, leaving that weird trail, after I had posted the video on YouTube and people were commenting on it, another person, I may have already said this, but another person messaged me on YouTube and was like, hey, I got a video of the same thing the same night. And it was out on the Interstate 10. Their video, if somebody can find it, I cannot find it. And it was on August 31st of 2012 in the Chuckawalla Mountains on Interstate 10. Their video was like, yes, that's what I saw. My video was pretty far away and I had, you know, weird angle on the camera. There was a stoplight. So it wasn't, you know, I don't think it was the best video of something like that, but the video they had, that's what I saw. And it was just the weird sparkle. It looked like magic. I don't even know how to, like, if you got a sparkler, like, you know, 4th of July sparkler firework, and it's lit and you're just kind of streaking it back and forth and it would just leave like a trail. That's the only thing that I could say that's what it looked like. But I mean, if somebody can find that video, you know, more power to you. Hope you like it. I've tried looking for it again and I can't find it, but you know, there's so many videos on YouTube of sightings and UFO related stuff. It's buried deep in there, I guess.
Yeah, so I'll put that on the website as well, and then people can have a look, and then, you know, maybe get an answer for that one. But yeah, I mean, you are very you're very close to the mountains, and you know, there is certain things that go on off in the mountains that they like to play around with. So you know, you never know what never know what you're seeing.
The military is all over the place out there, so
it is.
You know, like, yeah. I said, the flares and all this kind of stuff is going on not all the time out there. So could that have been what it is? Maybe. I don't know. But
then again, you know, you know, you're not too far away from Arizona. You're not too far from Travis Walton and Fire in the Sky and all that that kind of area.
I will tell you, being a person that, like, my dad in the 90s gave me a copy of Communion, so I read it. I'm interested in the subject. I've seen Fire in the Sky. Movie terrifies the crap out of me. I watched it recently, and I'm like, it's okay. It was an okay movie. The parts that, you know, he's in the craft and you know, being abducted and everything is still really super scary to me. But I think it was 2006. My kid's mom and I, we took a trip to Arizona. She has some family that lived in Pine Top, which is really close to Snowflake. So, of course, I'm like, oh, we got to go to Snowflake. And I was really disappointed because it looks nothing like it looks in that movie. There's nothing about Snowflake in that area that looked even remotely close. And I know, you know, it's just a movie, but that was kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
It's that's another thing, too, that, I mean, we have animals in this house. And, you know, they have two cats. They have two dogs. The animals have never, I mean, I know that I've heard stuff where like, oh, the animals will start, you know, freaking out if there's stuff around or that they're sensitive to that kind of thing. And I mean, I don't remember anything with the cats or the dogs that were here. Not that that has anything to do with anything, but I've always been told that, oh, you know, animals are more sensitive to this kind of stuff or something. Who knows?
I've heard accounts from experiences where they've, you know, they've got two dogs, say, and one dog will be wanting to know what's going on. He'd be scared. He'd be panicked. He'd be restless. And then the other dog wouldn't care. He'd just go sleep in a corner. So I don't know if animals can be kind of apathetic to certain situations. So
yeah, you never know. They can't tell us. That's the thing.
No, they can't. That is the downside. But going back to back in the 90s, when you had the flash of light in the house and you were all then in the kitchen, you were in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. Where were the other members of the family?
My dad and my sister were in the living room. So the living room would have been facing west. And I don't know what they were doing. They're probably watching TV or something. But the windows in the room, huge. Two giant windows in the living room facing west. And my mom was in her bedroom, I guess master bedroom, which would have been on the east side of the house. So if there was... if it was a crop duster, there would be no way that my dad and sister and my mom would have seen the same thing, the same light. Absolutely no way. Unless there was crop dusters flying all over the place. But again, we would have heard something. And that wouldn't account for how we all just ended up in the kitchen. And I don't remember anything between seeing that light and being in the kitchen. That was it. It was strange how calm we were about it. And my sister, I don't think she really likes talking about it. And I don't think really any of us like talking about it, but we all acknowledged that it happened. And it was just this, you know, a flooding light in the room, maybe 2 seconds, and then we're in the kitchen. And it's nice to have other people that remember the same thing that I do. It makes it seem a little bit more credible in my eyes. But it's not like hey, you guys remember? We remember that happened. That was definitely a thing that is unexplainable to all of us. My sister is not one that cares about the subject at all. I would say she's definitely more skeptical about that kind of stuff or just doesn't care. But for her to acknowledge that that happened as well, it's kind of like, maybe it did happen.
Do they have any recollection that they were automatically in the kitchen? But then again, it's a long time ago, so it's difficult to remember where was I when, you know, when something happened.
Yeah, I mean, from what I recall, they do remember that as well. Like I said, I spoke with my mom about this not too long ago, and she remembers it as well. She remembers being in the kitchen. My dad has Alzheimer's. He's, you know, he's laying in a bed. He doesn't even walk. So it's not like I can ask him anything like that. My sister, and I'm sure if I asked her about it, she would just be like, I don't know. It wasn't a big deal. Move on. Next subject. But my mom and I are definitely like the ones that are more interested in the subject. And she definitely remembered the situation. It's interesting too, like with my kid's mom, she's had her own experience. And this is predating me. And that's, you know, like I said, that's her story to tell. I don't know if she'd ever tell it, it wasn't anything near, you know, anything that I've experienced. But I mean, she obviously had an experience here when I was living here. And, but it's odd to me how calm, you know, she's talked to me about it a few times about seeing the thing in the bedroom and what it, you know, what she thought it looked like, what she saw. Me, I'm like, I don't want to see anything like that. I don't want to see any person or weird being, you know, walking in the room and full on seeing it. And then just, I'm going to put the covers over my head and hope it goes away. I probably would have been screaming and turning the lights on. But I mean, she's very calm about it. Nothing that any of us is, like I said, any of us has seen has ever hurt anybody. I'm afraid of this subject, but if, you know, knowing that, hey, this thing was in your house, yeah, it's like, dang, what can I do about it? Maybe it was a trick of the mind or something. I don't know, but it's interesting, you know, especially how calm she is about it, or how like, yeah, it was there and it was weird and I covered my face. I didn't want to see it. But like I said, she's had her own experiences in San Diego. And, you know, I know all those videos that were released not too long ago with all the weird objects that they had, the Navy was tracking and everything out kind of west of San Diego and everything. I mean, what she saw would have been kind of in the same area out, you know, west of San Diego, out in the ocean. But like I said, I wasn't there, so I can't sit and say. I've only heard what she's told me about what she saw. And it scared her enough to go home to her grandma's house and sleep with her glasses on. You know, I think that's kind of, I don't want to say that's typical of anybody to see something in the sky floating around, but I know myself, I would be outside trying to find it again. And then, you know, crying inside because I'm terrified.
You know, the experience that you had with her where, you know, you were walking around outside, having a look for, you know, what this light was. And you remember her being asleep. And then the next day when you discussed it, she was up one night reading, had this experience with this figure in the room. And she remembers you being asleep. So Basically you both remember each other being asleep. And,
correct,
you know, when you're both active.
Yeah.
That's an unusual one.
Yeah, the only thing that makes sense in my mind is that these things didn't happen at the same time. Maybe, you know, I don't know exactly what time it was when she saw this thing in the room. I was asleep and I was awakened by that light. I remember her being asleep. Maybe she saw that figure and that happened previous to me seeing the flashing lights in the room. Could be. Maybe what I saw happened before. But, you know, that wouldn't account for me seeing her asleep. I mean, I remember her telling me that she didn't get any sleep. She had a small business and was sewing a lot. And so she would basically stay up all night sewing. And, you know, when I would go to work, that's when she would try to get some sleep and the kids would go to school, or they were actually homeschooled. So they would do stuff and she would be there. But we had like kind of opposite schedules. So regularly she would be up at night, either sewing or reading or something like that. And I would just try to get some rest. But, I mean, maybe it happened at the same time. You know, I've heard things where being controlled, mentally being controlled and you know, put into sleep state. So it's very strange. The fact that we both saw something strange in the same night makes me think a little bit more that, hey, you know what? I don't think this is something that I just made up. This isn't, when I saw those lights, it wasn't a dream. I don't remember being in a dream. It was like I was up, I was outside, I was looking around, had a flashlight, I mean, checking out the house. It wasn't a dream state. I don't sleepwalk. She's never had a situation like that where she's, you know, hallucinating or anything, seeing things in the room, you know, what happened. And that's what we both kind of collaborated on. Yeah, you know, that was the same night. As well as the thing with my son, like, I think it was the same night. We had the same kind of dream.
Where you were seeing beings and he was seeing snakes.
Correct. Yeah. It was on the same night and I hadn't told anybody about it. It was horrifying enough for me where it woke me up and I was just in a full sweat, just terrified. And then, you know, I had to get up and like check everything, make sure everybody's okay. But just to hear that, having me not told anyone, and having my kids see this weird thing on my back, and I'm like, huh. I wasn't at that point saying, oh, these things are connected. But, you know, after she had told me, because she thought it was weird seeing the thing on my back, and then she told me, like, oh, you know, our son had this dream last night. Whoa, like, I had basically the same dream. And, he saw snakes, I saw beings, couldn't see what they were. It was too much light in the room. It was just silhouettes. And again, they were wanting me to go with them. They're very persistent, wanting me to leave. And like I said, it wasn't like they were saying it. It was the feeling that I got. Like, I don't remember hearing words. It was the feeling like they were there. I needed to leave with them. They wanted me to leave with them. And I was just so mad. I did not want them to be around my kids. That's what I remember in the dream. That was like the most, the significant thing that I got from that dream is that I was so mad that they were in my house with them, because I don't remember previous to that experience, aside from when my mom told me about, you know, the stuff that happened in the 80s. When she said that, it was like, this is the same stuff. This is the same thing that's going on. As soon as she told me that memory, or what she remembers me telling her, it was like, you know, there was light, there were things in the room, they were talking to me. This is what, it was like the same thing. Is this some weird thing that I've got going in my brain? I don't know, that, you know, I'm seeing lights and people in my house or in my room. I, you know, at that point, I had not seen anything like that. I have weird dreams about stuff, but never anything like that where it's like woken me up. Where I've just been terrified somebody's in my house. And like I said, when these things in that dream, when I was in the living room with my son, it felt familiar. I don't know if I said that, but it just felt familiar. I feel like I don't want to say that I knew it, but it just felt familiar. And so hearing that from my mom, that, you know, this little person that I saw that was completely a different memory, or that I had masked it or whatever, it brought a lot back. And I think that's why when she told me that, I kind of broke down. It was just like, oh, this isn't just a one-time deal, or, you know, this just didn't start in like 2018. This has been a while back.
Things being familiar to you, and that, you know, you're angry at the fact they're visiting. I mean, that kind of just shows that something, you know, something has been going on. But like you said, yeah. You know, if there was any danger, then it would have happened by now. I think
right.
The whole fear side of it, and the anger as well, is the loss of control, is the fact that you can't control the situation.
Correct. Absolutely. I think I 100% think if it is actually happening, that's what it is. I don't like not being in control of whatever situation that I'm in, and maybe that stems from that. I definitely like to have control of the situation in any form, but maybe having that, you know, deep inside me where I've regularly been in a situation where I'm not in control and there is nothing I can do about what's going on. Maybe that's why that's in me.
Yeah.
And plus it's just that being a father and having, you know, maybe these things that I've seen before in my past, being there with my kids and just, no, I don't want this to be around my kids. But, you know, again, nobody's been harmed. We're fine. I've had some marks on my back. I mean, there's been worse things that I've had done to me.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, how old is your son now?
He is going to be 14 in a few weeks. I think now at this point, he's not as visibly afraid of the subject. But man, when he was younger, he just wouldn't have any of it. Did not like it at all. And again, that's how I remember being at that age. So I can go out and look at stuff now and just, you know, try to see things, but deep down.
And, you know, he's at that kind of age now where he may even approach you about it. You know, said, oh, Dad, you know, I remember this. No, I remember this dream, you know, or he may just remember nothing.
Right. And that's actually when I picked him up from school today and we were driving over. I'm like, oh, you know, I have to get to the house to do the podcast. And then he's like, well, what are you going to talk about? And, you know, I've told him all this stuff before. You know, I was telling him, oh, you know, like the dream he had. And he's like, I don't remember that. I don't remember it anymore. And I was like, well, your mom remembers you saying it. And this was, I don't know, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? So maybe he's just blocked it out. Maybe he's just decided, it's not something that I want to hang on to. But I don't think it would be something that his mom would make up, especially since she told it before I had even said anything about what I had seen. And it's not something I made up. Not a dream that I would even want to repeat until she said that and told me about it. I'm like, oh yeah, I had the same dream.
Interesting.
I as well, and this is really cliche, but like I have a thing with owls. I have a tattoo of an owl. I have so many different, I have paintings of owls. I'm a huge Twin Peaks fan. So I, you know, the owls are not what they seem and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know if being into that kind of stuff has influenced my, you know, obsession with owls, or if it stems from all the other stuff that I have going on. And I know, people mask these things with different animals or creatures or whatever. Like my son seeing snakes. He hates snakes. So maybe that's what his brain recognized these things as, snakes. And that's why he saw that. Maybe I saw them as owls. I just saw them as figures in the house.
Have you had any experience with owls in particular?
Really say so. I mean, in the country, living, growing up, we have a lot of owls that are, they kind of burrow in the sides of canals that are out by fields. So, you know, you would definitely see owls or hear them. I've had a few like flybys where you know, you have those giant white owls or whatever, you're just driving in the country and they, you know, you get pretty close, but they just, you know, kind of buzz over your car or whatever. I think I listened to an episode recently where a guy was talking about owls. You know, there was like an owl in a street that he saw and it caused him to kind of slow down, and there was some other occurrences that he had with owls. But and then again, I don't know if that's from popular culture and that's why I recognize that and I'm obsessed with it, or it's just something that is something my brain recognizes these things as. I've never done like a huge amount of research into the owl thing. I know like surface level stuff, but you know, I've never really been able to explain just the obsession, but so much that my kids know that I'm into owls. So like my daughter painted I think it was her Father's Day. I'm a huge Twin Peaks fan. So, and we've made the trip to Washington State, and you know, I had to visit all the locations, the shooting locations and everything.
Cool.
I think it was for Father's Day. She painted a picture for me, Agent Dale Cooper with an owl face. And she's done some other ones of like owls. I mean, they know that I really like owls and stuff. So they'll always throw that kind of stuff at me, which is fun. But I don't know why I like them so much, or that it's something that I've collected so much owl stuff, little statues or paintings. And I think their thing too, is the face of an owl, it's obviously, it's going to remind me of a gray or that cover of Communion. You know, that was, I remember the exact place I was when my dad bought that book and I saw that cover and it scared the shit out of me. I was terrified of that and I hated that cover. And I know he had a hardback version, which I have. And I, you know, if he was reading it, I'd like take the cover off of that book. And we were in San Diego at my cousin's house, and he bought that somewhere. And it was just like, get the cover off of that book. I don't want to see that.
So a lot of people have had that reaction over the years. It's just the way it was drawn.
Yeah.
Very real. You know, it's not the usual pictures that you see.
Definitely not.
It's just something about that particular image.
It's just like a color. It's weird how these things like that, like it can be a collective. Oh, how strange. It's such a collective thing, I think. So many people have the same kind of experience, especially the light thing. I hear that so much, and it's just, man, it can't be something that I've made up, you know, or just some response to movies or media or books or something like that, you know. But and just having other people have the same kind of experiences.
I think it's a case of people having these experiences all over the world. And I just think that when people express themselves, you know, which they do, people turn to writing books, people turn to doing artwork, making movies, you know, and this is how things are expressed.
Right.
You know, and in some works of art, you know, whatever it might be, it might always not always be apparent of what the actual main content of, you know, their emotions and the subject they're trying to relay, but you can usually trace things back. And a lot of people which have had these experiences and had some form of communication have usually found themselves going down a particular path that they wouldn't have normally done. And
right.
It's usually like a transformation of them over time. So it's been it's been beneficiary in a lot of ways, whether it's spiritually, mentally.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Nick. Cool to talk to you instead of just listening to you.
Well, good to speak to someone about this kind of stuff, you know.
Most people that I know, aside from my mom and my kid's mom, they're just kind of shrug it off. Oh, you know, I've told some friends about things and they're just kind of like, oh, okay, whatever. There's an explanation for it. A lot of skeptical people in my life. No one, aside from those two people, my mom and my kid's mom, that really are willing to be like, oh man, it looks like you probably have something going on with you. let that out and let other people know and yourself, you know, what I've experienced. And I'm thankful for you giving me that platform to come out there and say that stuff. So,
well, Justin, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for all listeners.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it. Great. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
No worries, mate. You take care of yourself and I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. You as well.
Okay. Bye, Justin.
Bye-bye.
That's all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. Big thank you to Justin for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.